A leader does more than pray, but a leader doesn't do anything until he prays. Man, pray about everything. A leader makes prayer his very first daily priority.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Friday and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program, Pastor Bill continues his study from the Old Testament epistle of Nehemiah with part two of the message, "For I was the king's cupbearer." Let's listen in.
Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant, meaning Nehemiah, let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy, grant him favor, a compassion, if you will, in the sight of this man. What man is Nehemiah talking about? He's talking about the king, okay? He says, the sight of this man. The NEB says it this way, put it into this man's heart to show me kindness. Why? For I was the king's cupbearer. Say that with me. For I was the king's cupbearer. Now listen, Nehemiah is asking God to move upon the heart of the king. And I believe personally that when Nehemiah ended this prayer, he realized that God had already started working on his behalf because Nehemiah was in one of the highest positions in all of the land. He was the cupbearer, the chief butler, the wine taster, the food taster, whatever you want to call him, to the king of the land. God had Nehemiah exactly where he wanted him. So Nehemiah says this. He says, Lord, listen. We've all blown it. We've all sinned, and I'm not much. I'm just a cupbearer, but here I am. If you can use me, I am available for you. Now listen carefully as I make applications, and I pray that you write some of these down. You know, Nehemiah was a great leader, as we're going to find out, for the Lord. And you know what? All leaders have a private prayer life. You know, and I say this with the uttermost humility. If I don't pray, I feel dirty. I feel dirty. I feel lost. My whole day is shot. It seems like everything goes wrong and nothing goes right. I'm just being honest with you. I feel naked when I walk out of the house to come here. I feel nervous when I'm driving because I haven't prayed. And you say, well, Bill, you're just a sissy. Okay, I'm a sissy, but I'm telling you the truth. But when I do pray, when I know I've had my time, it's not about the quantity, how long it's that I had a quality prayer time. I went before the Lord. I started my day the right way. You see, if you are a leader, if you want to be a leader for God, if you want to be the right kind of believer, you have to have a private place to pray. See, loved one, how effective you are doing your day or in public is determined by what you do in private, meaning that you have a prayer time. Amen? It's so vital. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 6:6? Jesus said, but you, when you pray, talking to us believers, here's what he said to do. Go into your room. And when you have shut your door, in other words, when you have gone into your room, when you have found a private place to pray. And like I've always said when I teach this, there's no reason to shut the door if you don't believe God is going to hear you. Then if you can't pray to him in faith, there's no reason to shut your door. There's no reason to even go pray. He says, I want you to go into your room, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And that doesn't mean he can't be found. It means he's speaking of the place of intimacy that is found in prayer. He says, and when your Father who is in the secret place and your Father who sees in secret, listen carefully now, Jesus said, will reward you openly. In other words, you will experience the reality of your prayer. Why? Because God knows all secrets. Amen? He knows everything about everybody, every woman, every boy, every girl, every man, every leader in every nation. There are no secrets with God. Not one. Do you understand? He knows everything about everything. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Jesus said, go into your room, that secret place, that wherever your prayer altar is, okay? And shut the door. Get alone. Get away from everyone else. Don't turn on your computer. Don't turn on your cell phone. Don't do any of those things. Get alone with God. He's waiting on you. He says, when you go into your room, the word room in Greek means, if I remember correctly, a storehouse. Well, you know, a storehouse was a place where they would always keep precious things such as treasure, okay? Now, a Christian, a leader who prays daily, that's the regular life of a believer, not skipping Sunday. It's my day off. It's a day of rest. No, not skipping a day. 365 times a year, we pray. Even on the leap year. Listen, we pray. No, and it tells us that storehouse, it says, I'm assuming and I believe and I know and I've experienced as you have, that when you do that and you go into your room, your storehouse, as you're praying, you discover the treasures that God has for you. He starts revealing things unto you. The Bible says in Colossians 2:3, in whom, meaning Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And again, not hidden from us, but hidden for us. You have to go mine them out in prayer by getting alone with God. Now, when should I pray? Or when should you pray? Amen. Look at Nehemiah chapter 1 again, verse 3. It says, and they said to me, the survivors that are left from the captivity in the province, they're in a great distress, great reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates are burned with fire. Okay. So it was, when I heard these words, I sat down. I wept. I mourned for many days. I was fasting. In other words, I was hungering after God. Jews were only commanded to fast one time a year on the Day of Atonement. So this is of his own volition here. He says, and I was praying before the God of heaven. So when should you pray? Again, you pray before you do anything else. He got alone with God, and we're going to find out that Nehemiah, as the leader, is going to do something that is going to blow the nations away. He's going to build the wall. And I don't mean a little wall, loved one. I mean huge wall and gates and all, huge gates. He's going to do it in 52 days. And the nations are going to know. The people are going to know the opposition that he's going to be facing. They're going to know that God is with him. Do you understand? That's what prayer does. Now listen, this is very important, and I made this in bold so I would not forget to say it. A leader does more than pray, but a leader doesn't do anything until he prays. Does that make sense? Man, pray about everything. Don't be hasty. A hasty spirit exalts folly. Prayer, again, is the work. So what does a leader do? A leader makes prayer his very first daily priority. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek ye first, that means in priority, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and some of these things will be added unto you or subtracted from you. No, they will be added unto you. What will be added? The things that you need for life, loved one. God knows all the things that you need. Okay, another thing that we're going to make application is, why should I pray? I mean, God already knows the things that I have need of before I even ask him. Why should I pray? You know why? Because you are commanded to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, what does it say? Rejoice always. Did you know that's a command? Verse 17, pray without ceasing. That is a command. That's not a suggestion. It's not an option. So we're commanded to do that. When it says to pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean to pray every minute of the day, but it does mean to pray consistently and persistently when you pray. So why should I pray? Loved one, listen now. We pray because it shows or reveals to ourselves and that we're dependent upon God for everything. Listen, He controls the very breath. Amen? We're all just a step away from eternity. He knows everything about us, the day of our death, all of it. Listen, I'm dependent upon God. I'm dependent on God when I go home tonight. I'm dependent on the angels that surround the righteous. I'm dependent upon God. And it shows that we're dependent upon Him. That's why we pray. We're not dependent upon self. Jesus told us in John 15:5, what did He say? He said, you can do nothing without me. Man, we need the Lord all the time. Now, why should we pray? Well, in Nehemiah's case, have you ever been so burdened and so brokenhearted in your mourning? What do you do about that? What do you turn to when those things happen in your life? Well, listen, he turned to prayer. Why? Because when we pray, it renews our spirit. Amen? It refreshes us. It says in Isaiah 40:31, they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount upon wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they shall not faint. Paul writes, and he tells us when we're mourning, when we're torn apart, we don't know what to do. He says, don't be torn apart. He says, be anxious for nothing. That word anxious, we get our word angina, remember? To be torn apart. He says, to be anxious for nothing, absolutely nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be known unto God. Amen? That's from the Lord. He says, tell me about it. I know what you need, but tell me anyway. Why? Because I've commanded you to pray. And you know what happens when we do those things? It says, and the very peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, talking about prayer, talking about being a leader for God. Now, listen carefully. The main point that I get about this man, Nehemiah, and our just these 11 verses, this introduction, is this one thing, is why in the world did God choose a cupbearer to go build walls? You understand? A cupbearer. What do you do? Well, I taste a little wine every now and then. I taste a little food, give it to the king. That's what I do. I mean, that's not like a big job, is it? It's an honor job. Don't get me wrong. It's very honorable at that time. But it's, I mean, you know, why did he choose him? You know why I would have chosen Nehemiah? Do you know how pastors and other people, do you know how they look for people? They look for servants. First thing they look for, are they people of prayer? That's the very first thing. Ask Chuck Smith. Well, he's in heaven, so when you get there, ask him. That's the first thing Chuck taught us. He said, always select people that pray with you, that you know that they're prayer. That's, he said, those kind of people, they will pray with you. That's what you need. Well, but there was another thing that Nehemiah had, and it was the main thing. And that is this, loved one. God chose Nehemiah as a leader because he was sensitive. He was sensitive to the needs of others. In other words, when he heard what was going on in Jerusalem with his people, some of them he probably never even met, no doubt, he was brokenhearted. His heart was literally broken in two. He was weeping and all the rest of those things. He was sensitive to the needs about him. Listen, that is the first principle of a great Christian leader, is they're sensitive. They're not just about them. They look out there and they hurt. They hurt when they walk through Kroger and they see people that are despondent and down and they don't have any money for food. Or they walk into the church and they're hurt when they see people. When they hurt, you hurt. Does that make sense? That's exactly the kind of man he was. Listen, are you sensitive to the needs of others? It seems, you know, are you just about you? I'm not saying that about you, but is that true? Are you sensitive about your family and people in your workplace? You know, it's so easy to be, if you're in a mean workplace and with a bunch of people that every other breath are taking God's name in vain and all those things. I mean, it upsets you and you just kind of shut down. Listen, they can't act any other way. They're lost. It should grieve our hearts. It should break our hearts. You know, when I'm on the freeway and I see these guys racing, you know what I'm talking about? I start, if Becky's with, we start praying immediately. Oh, God, please. Number one, don't let anybody die, and don't let those crazy people die either. Do you understand? They're just crazy. No, we have to pray for those people. You know, Bob Pierce, who was the founder of World Vision, said this. He said, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." You remember in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 35 and following, when Jesus went into the village and he was preaching the gospel, man, in all the cities and all of the villages and all the synagogues and so forth. He healed every sickness. He healed every disease among the people. And listen to what he said. And when Jesus saw the multitudes, all those that had been healed of all those diseases, every person was healed. Every person that was sick was healed. And when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary. Because that word means they were worn out. They were just exhausted. And not only that, they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. See, Jesus saw the reason for their misery. And you would say, "Well, Bill, all of them were healed. My gosh, how can there be misery?" He said, "Because they're weary." See, Jesus sees people's true condition, doesn't he? They're scattered. They're like sheep that don't have a shepherd. And that's what they need. They need a shepherd. They need someone that's going to feed them and guide them and take care of them. But they don't have that. See, Jesus wants us to be sensitive, not desensitized to those that are around us. That was Nehemiah. I think Nehemiah had a heart for people. He just loved people. That was the kind of leader that he was. One person writes this. He says, "Facts do not cease to exist because they are ignored." A true leader, Nehemiah was a true leader. He never closed his eyes to the problem that he was facing. That's what made him such a great leader. Nehemiah didn't pray, "Oh God, you know, you better send somebody else. I'll pray for whoever." No, he said, "Will I do? Send me. I'll do whatever you want." That's what Jesus did. Remember, he looked at his disciples and Jesus said, he said, "Listen, the harvest, which is people, is oh so plentiful, but the laborers are few." In other words, so many that know the truth. The truth has set them free, and yet they don't do the truth that they know. The laborers are so few, Jesus said. He says, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers out into his harvest." Listen, loved one, leaders are laborers. You want to be a leader? Then be a laborer for the Lord. Go wherever he says to go. Be the ambassador of Christ. Be sensitive to the needs of others. The other reason that God chose Nehemiah was because Nehemiah was dependable. Oh, that's a great thing to be. That is the second principle for a great leader. They have to be dependable. In other words, you can depend upon them. And Nehemiah already had a proven track record because he was the king's cupbearer. And you say, "Well, can God depend on you? Can I depend on you? Can you depend upon me?" Jesus said in Luke 16:10, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." In other words, Jesus said, if I can trust you with a little, I know I can trust you with much. But if you're dishonest with the little that you have, you're going to be dishonest with much too. You know, we don't want to be like that. The other thing why God chose Nehemiah is that Nehemiah was available, meaning that God was not looking for ability. He wasn't looking for skills. Let me ask you a question. Was Nehemiah a wall contractor? A stonemason? No, he was a wine taster, guys. I mean, hello. You know, and he didn't have any of those kinds of skills. But why did God choose him? Why does God choose us? Listen, because God is never limited by our own ability. Do you understand? He can use anybody. That's what God does. It says in Corinthians, it says, "For you see your calling, brethren, there's not many wise according to the flesh, not many noble, not many that are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Listen. What does that mean? It means God chooses the most unlikely people in the world, and he does great things through them, and he does so in every generation. Amen? It says in verse 11, that ends, I love the way it ends. I pondered it and pondered it. He says, oh, for I am the king's cupbearer. Don't you love that? How he ended that in verse 11. In other words, you could be doing the same thing. For I am the nurse at Harris Hospital. Or, you know, I am the doctor at Scott White. Or I'm the plumber that is on the way to your house. Do you understand? I am not the cupbearer, but I have worked for Milestone Electric. You know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm getting at? You know, I work at 7-Eleven. Thank heaven for 7. Whatever. No, listen. You see, God isn't looking for our ability. You know, like, oh, okay, I have it, so God needs me. God doesn't need anything. We need God. The reason that we need the baptismal of the upper room experience is because the power to come upon us, because we are powerless without the Holy Spirit. No, gosh. Oh, loved one, listen. God's not looking for ability in leaders as much as he's looking for credibility. He is looking for dependability. He is looking for availability. Nehemiah didn't say, oh, you know what? I'm gifted. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm talented. He said, will I do? Will I do, Lord? If so, here I am. I'm just the cupbearer. I taste the wine and the food for the king to make sure it's safe. Can you use me? Because my heart is broken for Jerusalem and for the people. My heart is burdened. Will you give me divine favor with my king? I need favor, Lord. Here I am. I'll do anything you ask. Listen to me now. You never know when God is going to call you. Oh, he's already called you to save you. He's given you the ministry of reconciliation. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're a soul winner, you know, and all those things. But you never know when God's going to say, I need you now. That's what he did with Moses. Moses, what was he out there in the taking care of the sheep or the flock and all the rest of it? And God says, no, Moses. I need you to deliver a nation for me. Whenever David was out there taking care of the sheep, a little ruddy-skinned, red-headed boy or whatever it was, and they were anointing, you know, the boys as 7 brothers, and told Jesse, said, Jesse, listen, do you have any more kids? Because these are not going to be any of the kings. Well, I've got one out there taking care of the sheep. Go get him and bring him here. As soon as he walked in, what did the Lord say? He said, told Samuel, that's the one. Anoint him. Whenever Andrew and Simon and Andrew, what were they doing? They were just walking along. They were fishing, and all of a sudden, what does Jesus tell them? He stopped and he looked at them and said, hey, he said, I see you're casting that net into the sea. He said, follow me. Come after me. I'm calling you now. I need leaders. You're going to be a leader. You're going to change the world. You're going to turn the world upside down for me. I'm going to entrust you with the greatest message ever given to man. Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. Listen, that is what it's all about. When Jesus selected the men to change the world, they were untrained, they had no influence, and they were uneducated. But God looked at them and knew what they would be and what God was going to do in them. Amen. Oh, loved one, listen. Jesus chooses workers. Nehemiah was a worker. He said, for I am the cupbearer's king. No. He said, for I was. Is that what it says? Is it was? For I was the cupbearer's king. But now I work for the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the church said, amen.
We'll continue Pastor Bill's study from Nehemiah on our Monday broadcast, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. We pray that you have a great weekend, and until we see you again, may the Lord bless you. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our 3 services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.